Welcome to the Declaration Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor John Sherrill. For more information about Declaration Church and other resources, visit declaration.org.
Okay, let's start here. This morning, as you see, it's a little different in the house. We've got all these booths around here. We do things like this from time to time. You're probably thinking it's time to sign up for small groups. You're right, it is. We're going to be launching our summer small group season really soon. We want to encourage you to be a part of that for a multitude of reasons, but really just for you. We want you to be connected. We want to know that you're being covered and prayed for. A few hours ago, I found out that one of our church people had just suddenly lost their father. And I don't know if they're here today, but if Donna Bone, if you're in the house, I'm praying for you. And as a church, can we just pray for Mike and Donna? She suddenly lost her dad. Sometimes it's hard for us to hear all that information, but if you're in a small group, you are going to know that you're covered, right, Emily? And man, we want you to be connected in that way. And so that's coming. But today, what these tables are all about is, where can you plug in to make a difference? Where can you plug in? Everybody wants to make a difference. Everybody wants to leave a legacy. I'll never forget when we were launching this church, I sat down with a guy. And he knew I was very, very upfront. I told him, I said, man, he asked me, how can I help? And I said, well, I'm going to need some finances. And so he knew I was going to come to him and talk to him about that. Speaking of, just pause, talking about seeing you move, do it again. Can I just tell you what I'm praying for? I'm praying that God would supernaturally give us exactly how much land needed to build his church. Okay. And here's why I know God can. Because when I'm sitting down before we were launching this church, in a time when the oil crunch is happening and everybody's tightening up, I mean, God launched this church debt-free that cost well over $350,000. So God can do whatever he wants to do. Amen? But I was sitting with this guy and just talking with him. And he had made a lot of money in his life. And the one thing that he was trying to describe was his desire to leave a mark. To leave a legacy. Here's the truth of the matter, and hear my heart on this. You can make a lot of money, and you can do a lot of things in the name of charity to really do some good. But if you want to truly leave a lasting legacy, a lasting mark, begin to serve Jesus and serve his people. Begin to step in. Get all in with Jesus and serve his people. Make a kingdom eternal difference. Your name may never be in lights, and that's okay. But God sees and knows. And it will bless his heart when he sees you in humility, basically carrying a towel and serving someone, especially the least of these, and loving them in his name. And I promise, not only will that person be blessed, you're going to be double blessed. I promise. So that's the sermon. Totally just skipped right through it. Let me just say a few things, and then I'm going to get our dream team pastor up here to speak for a few minutes about what we're doing today and just kind of to encourage you as well. The last service, I told a few jokes. I'm not going to do that today. Sorry, I'll get you next time. I heard that, clapping. but I want to read a passage, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 and 38. Who's that? Ezra, you back there? Sorry, I'm just going to skip ahead. So find Matthew 9. Jesus is speaking to the crowds. He has compassion on them because they were being harassed and they were helpless. Like sheep without a shepherd is what scripture says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. And then Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Understand, I'm not Jesus. I hope to be more and more like him every day, but I'm not him. But here we are, his disciples in Spring, Texas, surrounded by 65,000 homes with what I've just heard is another contract just got solidified for another 4,000 or 5,000 more coming in. A brand new developer.
Welcome home.
Welcome home. That's right. Come on, Connor. But here's the truth of the matter. The harvest is absolutely plentiful, but the workers are still few. And I'm not just speaking Declaration Church. Carol's going to give you statistics, great information. What I'm saying is heart. What are we doing with our time, talent, treasures? And some of you, man, please don't. There's nothing that I want to say to you that would make you feel bad for doing or not doing, to make you feel like your arm's being twisted to do more or less. That's not what today's about. Today is really about you just saying, Jesus, what do you desire from me? I'm pretty confident I know what he's going to tell you to do. But yeah, Jesus, what do you desire for me? And then you just be obedient to him and watch the blessing. Watch your joy. Just watch. See, I mean, we don't want any of this from you. We truly want this for you because we've tasted and seen that God is good. And so, you know, Jesus is saying this to his disciples. I believe that he's telling us this very same thing in Declaration Church in Spring, Texas, that the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Here's the truth today that I want us to hear. You know, a lot of times, and I've been guilty of this, most of the time we'll wait for harvest to see the harvest, and that's when we define success happening, right? For example, let me just take you back to years ago when I used to do a lot of student camps. All of a sudden, you would have this move of God, and you'd see, you know, X amount of kids come to know Jesus, step into the kingdom for the first time, and man, we're celebrating because we've seen a little harvest moment, and we're celebrating, man, this is it. This is what it's all about. Can I tell you something, though? It's really not so much about that moment, the harvest that we should celebrate, but really the seed is the celebration too. The success is found in the seed. The success is in the beginning when you're faithful to put your hand to a plow, when you're looking at a field that needs to be that worked, the soil that needs to be overturned, seeds that need to be planted and watered and nourished and sought after. I told the story of my 88-year-old grandmother who at the age of 88 lived on a farm by herself miles outside of Huntsville, Texas. Didn't have a cell phone because even if we had that technology then, she wouldn't have had that. She was still working her garden to the point one day at the age of 88, she broke her back in the garden and crawled herself from the garden to her house. It took her hours to get there to get to a phone. You know why? Because she understood the importance of that process of planting the seed and then being out there every day and working the field because that was going to produce the fruit for her to eat. Do you see it? So the success isn't necessarily just when we get to see the baptisms. Those are fun moments, or when we see people step in the cave. Those are great moments. But church, I want to encourage you. Our success is found in the seed. God is calling us to be about seed planting and nourishing and watering and working the field. The harvest is plenty and it will come, but the workers are few. We got to focus. We need more people serving Jesus. We need more people seeing people, begging God for people to step into the kingdom. Just in the church alone, we could use more people serving in kids and students and 5-6 and small groups and set up and tear down and media and cafe, growth track. I can keep going. Worship, parking. Parking, yes. That's the first front door of anybody coming into this church. Can you imagine? We've even talked about getting Mickey Mouse hands for those guys. That'd be fun. Come on in. Smile on your face. What's up? Yeah, it's early. I've had 25 cups of coffee. Praise God. Park here and there. Yeah. We need more people in the connection team. It's a good place to be. You're the front. I mean, you are the front door. You're the face. You're the first welcome home. To maybe someone being welcomed home into the kingdom. Think about it. Many, many, many more people need to know God and find freedom and begin to discover who God created them to be, their purpose, and then get to party and hang out with cool people like us and make a difference, amen? I mean, this is cool that we get to be a part of this. Here's the truth of the matter. God doesn't need us, but he wants us. God could do anything he wants to on his own. He's God. He is fully sufficient. But he wants us. He wants to use us. And now, right now, the enemy is probably trying to give you a laundry list of all the reasons why he wouldn't want to use you and why you're disqualified and da 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 da. But you know what? God still says you're qualified because of Jesus. And God just pours. He lavishes his song of grace that he sings over you because he doesn't see what you've done. He sees who you are and who he's created you to be. And he wants to use you right where you're at. You never know how the test you walk through is the testimony that will walk someone else into the kingdom that God will use. So the harvest is plenty in Spring, Texas. The harvest is plenty. We need to be fully surrendered, fully empty of self to be fully filled with the Spirit of God. You know, a few weeks ago, we started this all-in series with Ezekiel 47, this prophetic dream Ezekiel had that really, you know, spoke to us a little bit about this river, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the depths of it as Ezekiel's being led out ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I love Dave a couple weeks ago was preaching and he used this same illustration, not theologically, but really, kind of metaphorically. And he said, hey, let me rephrase the question about the river. He said, if the river represents your destiny, would you only want to be ankle deep in your destiny? or knee deep or waist deep in your destiny. No, you want to be all in that thing. You want to be fully into that thing. You know, most writers of the epistles that we read, Jude, James, Peter, Paul, they all introduce themselves in the same way, as a servant, as a servant. Paul in Colossians 1, servant of the cross. In Ephesians 3, servant of the gospel. Galatians 1, one of my favorite books, servant of Christ. And just as Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 speaks, that we would join in to this great cloud of witnesses that has come before us, because I believe that God is calling us into these ranks in order to make a difference. God wants to see his people know him. He wants to see people begin to step into freedom and to walk away from chains of addiction. This is the whole point of the cross and the resurrection. He wants you to know exactly why he wired you the way he wired you, and he wants you to know your identity in him. And he wants to use you to make a big kingdom impact, difference. Today, I just want to read a quick passage from this letter that Paul wrote, the first letter to the church in Thessaloniki. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 4. Let me read it. It says, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full assurance. You know how we lived among you for your benefit, and you yourself became imitators of us and of the Lord, when in spite of severe persecution, you welcomed the message with joy from the Holy Spirit. As a result, you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." Did I say it right? Where's my son, Jaden? He corrected me earlier. Thank you. Hooked on Phonics works for my kids. "For the word of the Lord," verse 8, "rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place that your faith in God has gone out. Therefore, we don't need to say anything, for they themselves report what kind of reception we had from you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." Here's the first thing that I want to see for all of us to see today, and this is what I deeply believe. We were truly made by God, and we were made to serve. We were made to serve. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 4. "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you." He has chosen you for such a time as this. He put you on this spinning earth at this very moment for deep, divine, intentional reason. It's not just to create some, you know, some space to sit down over in this little quadrant of your world. There's a reason he chose you. You were made for this. You were created for purpose, on purpose. We were made to serve. Not only were we made to serve, but we were made to model servanthood. Paul had just said that that God had chosen you. Look at verse 5. He says, "Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit." I love this because, see, every time Jesus taught, he did something. He demonstrated. It was like, let me tell you the word, and then let me demonstrate it in action. And see, that's what we need more of the church doing, not just talking about the information, but demonstrating and seeing transformation. Come on, somebody. That's what we need. So we're made to model this servanthood. He says, "You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit." So Paul is saying, you became an imitator of us and of the Lord. We imitate Jesus, and you were imitating us, ultimately the Lord. You are imitating what we are modeling. I want you to go with me and see what I'm saying here. We're all leaders in some capacity, every single one of us. You know, when I was a student, I was kind of mischievous, a little bit on the fringe. Anytime something happened, like if we're in a large sitting like this and all the lights went out at the same time, my youth pastor would just shout my last name. "Where's John? What did he do?" Right? And he constantly would tell me, you know, "You're a leader. You're a leader." He was seeing something in me that I didn't see in myself and calling that out of me. You see it? So here's my question, because we're all leaders in the room. We're all leading somebody somewhere in some way. Who are you leading? How are you leading? Here's another way to think of it. How are people following your leadership? You will see your leadership on display in those who follow you, whether they're your kids, whether they're your employees, whether they're your friends, your family, or somebody on your team. I believe that God made us to be servant leaders, to carry towels. The first shall be last. We are made to model servant leadership, servanthood. See, servanthood is leadership, and leadership is servanthood. Ephesians 5, therefore be imitators of God as dearly beloved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant aroma to God. So here's the truth. We are to imitate Christ. He was a sacrifice on our behalf. We are to sacrifice ourselves for his glory and for the sake of others. Amen? So when you serve, you sow. When you serve, you are sowing seed. You're planting seed. You sow. You plant seeds of humility that will bear the fruit of harvest. So what are we modeling? You know, in our staff team, I tell them a lot, we make what we model. I say that sometimes just to hear myself talk, I think, to remind myself. But we're servant leaders because Jesus was a servant leader. You know, one of our non-negotiables in our team is this statement that I just said, we carry towels. Why? It's a physical reminder that our job is not to be some sort of leader that's just telling everybody what we think they should do. Our job is to model the way in humility and wash feet and serve. That's our job. And I would say that that's the job of our whole church, in humility to carry towels, modeling the way, modeling servanthood because we mimic Jesus. Last point. As servants, we're messengers, verse 8. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere so that we may not need to say anything. We are messengers of the gospel. As servants, we are messengers of the good news of Jesus. When we serve, we declare who he is. We declare his mighty acts. And in everything we do, we are declaring the gospel. Let me say it this way. A couple of weeks ago, we talk about this conference a lot. God just really used this conference in a lot of our lives. And man, as I was at that conference, it's like, man, God just really got all over me about the gospel. What do we really believe about the gospel? I started talking about it a little bit last week, if you remember. But here's how far it went for me. It went to this point. Every time you help someone park their car, you're handing them the gospel. Every time you hand someone a cup of coffee, you are handing them the gospel. Every time you set a chair up or a drape up or you serve in the kids' wing or you tell a Bible story or you talk to the preschool about how do you share the gospel, you are carrying the gospel. You are giving them the gospel. And the gospel is so powerful. It does not hinge upon us. It doesn't hinge on the ability or our talent in order to share it. It just hinges upon our humility and our heart to offer it in whatever way possible through our serving. And God will use it. He'll breathe on it. And we'll see people come to know him and find freedom. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Our motivation is to serve Jesus. Because why? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Church, can we be the church that's known for giving our lives away for the sake of others? If it were only one, you've heard that. It's been a cliche almost. Would all of this be worth it week in and week out? I would submit to you, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you never know what God is going to do with that one. The success is in the seed, church. So is Jesus the Lord of your life? Is he the Lord of your church life, of your work life, of your home life, of your family life, of your private life? Do you include him on all the decisions that you make on your calendar and in your checkbook? The example of Jesus on servanthood is the greatest and most ultimate example of servanthood that we find. Philippians chapter 2, and I'll leave you with this. Kara, why don't you come on up? Verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature with God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I want to end where we began. Jesus looking at the crowds, looking at his disciples and saying, listen, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He was encouraging them. We got to get after this. Hey, declaration, too much is at stake. We got to get after this. We got to get after this. So what's your next step today? Man, my prayer is that you'll just ask God, what am I to do with this? Are you calling me into something? Is there another step you want me to take, Father? I really want you to hear from our dream team, Pastor Carol, because she's very good at helping us really see things in a different way. And also, she's going to give us instructions on what we're going to do for the next few minutes, all right?
Thanks. I have some things that I want to share with you guys, but I've asked a few people that serve on our dream team to come up because I want you to hear from them. So if I talk to you earlier, will you just come and make a line across the front here? Believe it or not, the average percentage of people who serve in any church is around 30%, which, you know, that's one third of their people are serving. You'll be happy to know that Declaration, though, is above average, and I'm sure not surprising to you at all. We, about 42% of our population, serve in some capacity on one of our dream teams here at Declaration. So let's hear it for being above average. The cool thing about that 42% is that that includes our kindergartners and first graders who serve all the way up through our junior high kiddos that serve on tech and in preschool and our high schoolers. I know they're over there like, yeah, that's us. 42% of the population of Declaration Church serves in some capacity, which is great. The thing about that 42% is that means that 58% of people who call Declaration home are not serving. And why that matters to me is because I know that God has wired you, hardwired you to serve others. Think about the way that that plays out in real life. I was saying earlier that all you have to do is go into a kindergarten classroom on the first day of school and see the moms fighting to be the room mom to know that we are wired to want to serve. You see it any place that you go. And the thing about serving that's so important is when we are stepping outside of ourselves and pouring into someone else, truly making a difference in their life, we are different people. We are better people. We are better wives and husbands and moms and fathers and sisters and brothers and neighbors and coworkers. We are infinitely better because we are using the gifts that God has given us to serve in someone else's life. So when I hear that 42%, I'm excited about that as your dream team pastor. I mean, a little bit proud, actually. But when I think of that 58%, it grieves my heart because I know that you're not doing the very thing that God has wired you to do. That's going to make your life infinitely better. That's what I want for you, and that's what today is about. So we're going to bring the lights up in just a moment, and when we do, you have the opportunity to go all around this room and visit these tables that represent about 90% of the dream teams that we have available for you to serve in. I want you to know a couple things before you do that. First of all, there is soft serve ice cream here for you today because it's your serve and we're serving you ice cream. And my husband, who is serving the ice cream, said, please come get some ice cream. So that's number one. Number two, when you are walking around and you are trying to decide where you think might be a great fit for you, I want you to realize that when you put your name down on a piece of paper, you are not committing your life to that team. You are not committing your life to the Connection Center team. Right, Kelly? She's like, maybe you are. The idea behind this is that we want you to find the place that brings you to life. If that's on the Connection Center team, great. But if you try that and you say like, I don't know if this is for me, that's okay. We want you to find the place that is going to bring you to life. And so I am always a resource for you. You can reach me at carol@declaration.org. I would love to help you walk you through all of the team opportunities that we have.
Thanks for listening to the Declaration Church podcast. We pray many blessings over you and your journey as you declare him to the nations. For more podcasts and teachings, visit declaration.org/podcast. I've come away.